Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 16 records an important historic event, the first recorded convert in Europe. In Acts 8, we read about the first Gentile convert, an Ethiopian. In Acts chapter 10, we have the conversion of the Roman centurion Cornelius and his household. But now the gospel finally reaches Europe. And Acts 16 records the history of how this important event occurs. Two important points we want to focus on today. First of all, Paul's vision, the vision of a man from Macedonia. Secondly, about the convert herself, a woman named Lydia. So we'll talk about those two points today. First point, Paul's vision. Paul's second missionary journey took place around 50 AD. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, Acts 16, 6 through 8. So this is all happening around 50 AD. Paul had been traveling through Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. He was in Lystra and Derbe, where he and Silas met Timothy. And Timothy then accompanied them on their missionary journey. After leaving Lystra and Derbe, they wanted to go north to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go there. Instead, they went to Troas. Troas is a city. You might know it better by the name that the ancient Greek poet Homer used for it, Troy. Remember Troy, where they had the Trojan War, and that account from the Odyssey. Well, that's Troas. This is a brief account. In a few verses, it talks about an incredibly long journey. Paul, Silas, and Timothy go from Lystra to Troas, which is a journey of 300 miles on foot. That would be the same as walking from Milan all the way to Omaha, Nebraska. I think that tells you two important things about Paul, Timothy, and Silas. First of all, they're in great shape. That's a long walk to make. Second of all, they are filled with excitement, energy, and enthusiasm to tell the good news of Jesus. They're filled with the enthusiasm that comes from knowing the Lord and wanting to share him with others. They can't wait to tell people about Jesus. So they walk 300 miles at the Lord's direction and end up in Troas. And in Troas, Paul receives a vision. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So in Troas, Paul has a vision of a man of Macedonia pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Notice in verse 10, Luke writes, God had called us to preach the gospel. And so Luke has now joined the company, Luke, Paul, Timothy, and Silas. Paul rightly understands they are being called to take the gospel into Macedonia. They're in Asia Minor. Macedonia is in Greece, which is Europe. God is directing them to take the gospel across the Aegean Sea into Europe. And that is, of course, what they are going to do. They set sail across the Aegean Sea. Paul's journey across the sea is about 100 miles. Now, Lake Michigan is about 100 miles across. So if you can imagine rowing or sailing across Lake Michigan, you get the idea. Not an easy journey. From there, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke travel to Philippi, one of the main cities in that area. You know, it reminds me of Proverbs 16, verse 9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines our steps. I said last week to our confirmands that the Christian life is an adventure. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke know all about that. Traveling all over Asia Minor, they think they are headed to Bithynia, but instead they end up not just in a completely different area, but on a completely different continent. They are strangers in a strange land. You just never know where the Lord is going to lead you. I think it helps us when we understand that the life of discipleship that our Lord has called us to is not an all-expense-paid vacation to a sandals resort in the Bahamas. We're not called to just sit on the beach and drink margaritas. The life our Lord leads us on is an adventure. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." That was true of Paul. It was true of Silas and Timothy and Luke. And it's true for you and for me. We never quite know where the Lord is going to lead. When you were in high school, you probably had a picture of what your life would be like. Where you'd work, where you'd live, what you'd be doing. Let me ask you, how does that compare to the reality of how things turned out? Different, right? I could be wrong, but for most of us, life doesn't turn out the way we expect. But if you look back, you'll notice it's probably been an adventure. And you'll notice one more important thing. The Lord has been with you every step of the way, leading you to the place you are now. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Proverbs 16:9, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." That's Paul's vision. Let's now talk about the convert, Lydia. We need to know three important facts to understand Lydia. First of all, Lydia is a businesswoman. Acts 16, 6 through 8 says, "A one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God." The first thing to understand about Lydia is that she's a businesswoman, and it seems she is a very successful businesswoman. Some people believe that women working outside the home was something that was invented in the 1970s. People who believe that have not read their Bibles very closely. Proverbs 31 talks about the wife of noble character who trades and sells and perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Luke 8 talks about noble women, Mary Magdalene, Susanna, and Joanna, who worked as Herod's household manager. And all three of them supported Jesus and the 12 disciples from their own means. They worked to support the disciples. And of course, here in Acts chapter 16, we have the successful businesswoman Lydia, a seller of purple goods who becomes an example of Christian generosity and hospitality. Lydia, as the Bible makes clear, is from Thyatira, which is in Asia Minor. It's about 50 miles from the Aegean Sea. Thyatira is one of the seven churches of Asia mentioned in the book of Revelation. It's also well known as a center of commerce, especially in terms of dyeing clothes and other objects. It was well known for its purple dye because purple in those days was extremely rare. Lydia is a dealer in purple cloth, which was rare and a sign of great wealth. It is the color of royalty, which is why the soldiers clothed Jesus in the purple robe to mock him as king of the Jews. Lydia is a dealer in purple cloth, which is expensive. She seems to be doing well. She has her own house in Philippi, which speaks to her success in her trade. But the point of the section is not to point out Lydia's financial success. Rather, to point out how the Lord worked through word and sacrament to bring Lydia to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue with our text, Acts 16, 14 to 15. "The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well." There was no synagogue in Philippi. We are a long way from Jerusalem at this point. So many times, those who believed in God would go to the river to pray, those who believed in the true God. Paul goes down to the river and finds a group of women there, led by Lydia, and he shares the good news of Jesus with them. Now notice what the Bible says. It tells us that Lydia had her heart opened by the Lord. This is not Lydia deciding to follow Jesus. She doesn't make a decision. Rather, the Lord, through the preaching of the word, opened her heart. The Lord, through Paul's preaching, opens her heart and she becomes a believer. And of course, she is baptized. Not only is she baptized, but her whole household as well. Through word and sacrament, the Lord works faith in Lydia. Now, we don't know if Lydia was married. No mention is made of her husband, but it does say she had a house, and it does say she has a household. Perhaps her household includes children. It's possible she was widowed, or it's possibly referring to servants. But either way, notice the power of word and sacrament, God's means for bringing about conversion and faith, as the Lord's word spreads even into Europe itself. Lydia, this hardworking, successful businesswoman, becomes the first convert on the continent of Europe. Lydia's response to her being brought to faith by the Holy Spirit is one you will recognize as joyful generosity. Acts 16, verse 15 says, "She urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Joyful generosity. Following the Lord is an adventure, but it's not a dull slog. It's a joy-filled adventure. Lydia is filled with the joy of the Lord and insists that Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke stay at her house. The Bible goes so far as to say she constrains them. I think that means that Lydia was not going to take no for an answer. Now, it's not something she has to do. It's something she wants to do. She's filled with the joy of the Lord. She wants to express the joy she feels in her generosity. That kind of joy and generosity, by the way, is contagious. Lydia is the first convert in Europe and the first believer in Philippi, but she's not going to be the last. Others in Philippi would come to believe in the Lord. So many that a church there would be organized, a church that Paul would write to in the letter that we now know as the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is a joy-filled book. When you read the book of Philippians, notice the joyful generosity of the Philippian church and recognize how it resembles the joyful generosity of Lydia, that first believer in Philippi. Of course, ultimately, what it represents is the joyful generosity of the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, who joyfully and generously gives us all that we need. He meets all of our physical needs and our spiritual needs as well, including the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and salvation in his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.